Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I can indeed dig it. Welcome back, people. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. And now, joining us on the phones as she does every Thursday at 8 a.m., although we do have a well-earned vacation coming up for our next guest. She covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News, the lovely Lulu Kesson joining us here on the show. And Lulu, before we get into it, I do have to tell you, in a way that's going to sound weird, and I don't intend it to, I put up an Instagram story the other day about Brad Marchand and how I'm really mad that I like Brad now, because since he got down to Florida, he's just been a dude and it's been fun to watch. I hated Boston Brad. I love Florida Brad. And I got a DM from Mrs. Mama Lulu Kesson, who I now know is a Bruins fan, who was up in her feelings about Brad getting a ring not in Boston. Just so you know where I'm coming from.
Oh my goodness. I had no idea. Wait, that's so funny. Yeah, she is way more of a Bruins fan than I am. I credit her for that. She grew up sort of in a hockey family. Wait, that's so funny. Yeah, a lot of my friends, a lot of people here aren't over the Brad trade. I don't know if it's just because it happened when I was in the height of basketball season and in the height of work, but like, I definitely got over it a lot quicker than the average Boston fan.
She responded to my Instagram story and basically was like, I am still livid over this. Not only did he leave us, but he leaves us and immediately gets a ring. I'm relatively sure that if Mama Kesson had the ability to kick down the doors to the Bruins HQ, that team's winning like 10 straight rings if she takes over. She was heated. It was fantastic.
Yeah, wait, that's hilarious. I love her passion.
It's the best. Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Like, ordinarily, my job is to jump right into the Gamecock stuff, but how could I not lead off with that? All right, Lulu Kesson, let's get into some stuff. And I want to ask you a couple of Gamecock-adjacent stories. I will start with what happened last night in the WNBA. How about Asia Wilson, the fastest player in WNBA history to get to 5,000 points? She does it faster than Breanna Stewart. She does it faster than Diana Taurasi. And if she's got the longevity in her, it also sets her up to potentially, and I think almost destiny, it feels like at this point, if everything works out right, become the all-time WNBA leading scorer. Talk to me a little bit about what that young lady has accomplished in the dub. Talk to me a little bit about how you think maybe Dawn Staley and her time at South Carolina prepared her to become one of the GOAT candidates in the W.
Yeah, and the most impressive thing to me is the timing of when she did it, only because she was just injured. She was, you know, in concussion protocol. Like, she individually is still putting up numbers this year, but the Aces are really struggling. So it sort of felt like, from a team perspective, that last night could potentially be a look in the future and almost like a step in the right direction for the Aces, because last year it genuinely felt like every other game Asia was breaking a record. And I'm saying that like as obviously as a compliment, not as like a, oh, you know, another one. And the Aces sort of led, you know, she led the Aces and they really kind of like built off that energy. And so I'm hoping for their sake that moving forward, having this individual accomplishment be so huge kind of in this middle season, rough patch timing wise, like they can build off of that. To answer your question, I think that Dawn will always recognize that Asia came to South Carolina with talent, but I think Asia will also always credit Dawn for taking that talent and getting her pro ready. It's so hard to be good as a WNBA rookie, and not a lot of people are. And Asia was able to be so dominant from year one, and that's all South Carolina and Staley's preparation. And I think that awards like this aren't possible if you don't start your career in, you know, a productive fashion. And it's impressive to see that in a year where Dawn has 11 players currently playing in the WNBA, which is still only third because Notre Dame has 12 and UConn has, I believe, 14 or 16, one of the two. But regardless, it's what Dawn specifically took the time to do. So much of her coaching career has been in the WNBA because she coached at Temple while playing. And so she's just wanted from day one coming to South Carolina to get people pro ready. And Asia was sort of that shining star from you know, the jump that wanted to really be polished by the time she got into the league.
One of the things that, and one of the reasons that I think South Carolina fans should care about that story is I think with the W growing exponentially in popularity, Lulu Kessin, in terms of growing with the celebrity, in terms of it growing financially, I mean, there's a long way to go, but the attention to go is starting to not form, but like really take shape. If she is capable, Dawn Staley, of continuing to send Aaliyah Boston's and to send Asia Wilson, and you know, if Chloe Kitts ends up there and she's able to translate, if Camila Cardoso, who is headed down to Brazil to play for the Brazilian national team in a FIBA tournament, if she's able to keep the momentum going, if you keep cranking out WNBA players at a higher rate than a UConn, at a higher rate than some of these other great women's teams, Tennessee, over the years, that becomes a major recruiting piece, because players who believe going into college that I've got WNBA talent in me, she is now showing, Allah Mockett, you just got to come here and play. That's a fantastic opportunity for a recruiting tool for Dawn Staley as well.
Absolutely. I just talked to a parent of a five-star recruit, that has South Carolina in their top four schools. And a lot of what he said, and then a lot of what his daughter has said publicly, is just basically about the fact that they know that there's another level of sort of readiness that she'll get going to South Carolina that she isn't necessarily guaranteed to get at other schools, just because Dawn has not only the connections, but like you said, the tools and the ability to get people, you know, prepared for the WNBA, and it's a really attractive kind of quality to possess, even for someone who's maybe on the fence about it. And then obviously definitely for somebody who wants to go into college, you know, and immediately make an impact in the WNBA.
All right, let's talk about the other side. The NBA draft last night, Colin Murray-Boyles selected number 9, headed up to Canada to go play for the Raptors. There's two aspects of that I want to talk about. One of them was the reaction Colin Murray-Boyles had. A lot of people thought that he very clearly muttered the F word under his breath, kind of looked like he was staring down at the floor. A lot of people were saying, oh, he really didn't want to go to Toronto, but you had a quote up on your Twitter last night that he said he felt the exact opposite. What did you think about the draft last night for him? I believe he is the first men's Gamecock player selected in the lottery going to Toronto, and the fact that, speak of the devil, Chloe Kitts was up there supporting him on NBA draft night, which I thought was kind of dope.
Yeah, I would say this even if this wasn't a player that, like, I know is a great person and that I know, like, I personally say the F word quite literally for every occasion. And I very much saw that right away and took it as a, like, I'm in disbelief, like, that's crazy type of curse. Obviously, it's one of those moments where you're not really prepared for a camera to be in your face, you know, it following you from after you hear, like, a big moment. Yeah, it's, you know, a classic rookie mistake in that regard. But I very much believe him when he was like, it was not me, Matt. I was going to Toronto. I do know he had said, like, he worked out with Toronto before. Like, I think, if anything, it was pure shock and emotion. And he said it delayed, too. Like, I think a lot of people really took and run with it. And in some ways, I understand it's Twitter. It's almost unavoidable to have people think logically about something. But at the same time, like, he cleared the air, I think, in the press conference. But he's the second highest, like, draft pick ever in South Carolina history because of a 1972 number 8 overall pick, Tom Riker. But to look at what South Carolina's men's program has and hasn't done in the last even 5 years, it's incredibly impressive that Colin came in and was able to make such an impact in 2 years. And I think that he does have a really great future ahead of him. I know that there's some shooting concerns about maybe his range and things like that, but every scout that wrote about him just would not stop talking about his defensive abilities. And, you know, that's something to really kind of give a lot of credit, individual credit, but also program credit to. And I'm curious to sort of see what, you know, life in Toronto is like for him. Obviously Chloe was there, and I'm sure there's a distance factor involved in a lot of it too now, but at the same time, hey, Toronto has a WNBA team in the 2026 draft. So some GMs might see a really great opportunity to reconnect some lovebirds with a draft pick.
Love that. Love that. Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Lulu, I'd like to go back in time a couple of weeks to the interview that showed up from Lenora Sellers' dad, Nora Sellers, because the conversation kind of got commandeered and really forced on us about the alleged offer of $8 million to transfer and his decision to stay and all that. But you had an article on GreenvilleOnline.com that I just got the opportunity to read yesterday when I was getting prepped for today. And it is full of compliments and takes about Lenora Sellers from people that are big in his life. Spencer Rattler, now a New Orleans Saint, Shane Beamer, the head coach, Dow Loggins, his OC, et cetera, et cetera. Talk to me a little bit about, now that we can kind of put that transfer offer to bed, what else did you take out of that article since then and the conversations you've had with some of these other presences in his life? And where are you about this guy now that he has started to really gain a lot of national discussion as potentially a Heisman finalist?
I think that last year it was constantly hearing like, oh, you know, nothing really fazes Lenoris. He's just going to stay calm, cool, collected, like, you know, no moments too big, no moments too small. And Lenoris kind of said, I have to be, you know, can't get too high, can't get too low. Can't really put a lot of emotions in it. And at first I was sort of like, okay, like how is that actually going to translate? Because in some ways a quarterback needs the ability to be the voice that's sort of hyping everyone up in a big moment. Sometimes it's okay that they don't say anything in a bad moment, but I was sort of like, how much is this going to stick as his role grows? And it's incredibly impressive that he's sort of managed from, you know, my perspective and what I've been told and what I talk to people about, that he's able to kind of step into the spotlight now, but he has a really good idea of what to get emotional about. And that isn't, you know, being talked about for a Heisman. That isn't being talked about as a draft pick. That is, we have a really great team. We have a really great group of young receivers. We have a really great offense. How can I ensure that as a leader, as QB1, I am instilling my confidence vocally in them so they feel as though that they have my, not just my best physical effort, but my best mental effort. And I think that talking to Shane recently, kind of being like, well, like, has he, you know, is he still quiet? And he's like, yes and no. Like, I've seen him get on receivers at practice in ways that he wouldn't last year. And so I think that there's been a lot of kind of talk about Lenoris in the sense of, oh, you know, he, you know, other offers, things like that. Oh, he's decided to stay. But to me, I'm not surprised only because he's shown a really good ability to kind of pick out the best information. And that's not something every college kid can do in a lot of different even life situations. And I think that him choosing to stay was just another example of him really contextualizing a lot of things in his life and recognizing what's actually going to be productive, what's just outside noise. And I think he understands how his actions affect other people, which is just another thing that's sort of rare to see at this, at his age. I mean, he's, I think, barely 20, maybe just turned 20, I think, 2 days ago. So I loved writing that article really early on, because I think that although it was hard to see maybe some of the pockets of the football stuff, that they were talking about, a lot of the mental components were there from day one, I felt like.
Do you think that, Lulu Kessin, do you think that Lenoris Sellers is prepared? I mean, I know he had the game against Clemson last year, and what he did in the fourth quarter of that game down the stretch to get Carolina where they needed to be to get the dub, that was a big time pressure moment from a kid who really kind of got thrown into the cooker in that spot. Do you think that that moment, do you think this offseason has prepared him, and do you think he is ready to handle the pressure of, let's keep it a buck, heightened expectations for the football team this year, playoff hope from South Carolina fans this year, and Heisman hopeful discussion going on around him? Do you feel like what he went through last year has prepared him to handle the weight of the moment that will be upon him when the season kicks off here in 70-whatever days it is?
I do. I honestly do. And I'm not trying to point fingers or take pressure off Lenoris, but I think I'm more nervous about his hit, like the new sort of connection with his new OC more than anything. I think that obviously with Dowell leaving, and I know that Mike was a part of the program last year, but I'm a little bit like, ooh, that's something that I'm going to have to see a lot of football to trust, just because of the way that kind of the Citrus Bowl played out. But I do think that Lenoris has the ability to, you know, yeah, no, I'm going to stick to my word. I do think that he can, and that he will handle the expectations of this season. And there are a lot of them, and there are a lot of team-related and individual, but I do think he can.
Fair enough. Real quick, we did get a text there from, we got a crossover question here, Buckeye Mike, who wanted to see if you had any commentary on Air Nolan. How's he doing? Is he involved? Where is he at? Do we have any update on what the transfer from Ohio State has been? Will we see him on the field at all this year in any capacity?
It's interesting because Shane seems really stuck on Luke Doty being QB2 right now. And I think that regardless of, it's weird. Like, I understand why Luke Doty would, and he's obviously incredibly experienced, but I don't think that we're necessarily going to see a ton of Air Nolan, and I think that might be to his benefit, only because coming into this program and obviously being on the younger side, you sort of need that extra time. And I think that he's a player based on the spring game that I don't want to be like he could use the time, but I think that it will be to his benefit not having the pressure of being Lenoris's backup from the moment that he gets into this program.
Lulu Kessin covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. Kind enough to join us on Thursdays at 8 a.m. to break it all down. Lulu, I appreciate it. You're the best. Do me a favor. Call your mom. Tell her chill out. I'm sure everything's going to be okay in Beantown, right?
I will. And I forgot to mention that a 4-star recruit is announcing his decision at 11 a.m. Desmond Green, he's from South Carolina, closer to like the Charleston area, I believe. And South Carolina is in one of his top schools. So be on the lookout for that at 11, a couple hours.
See, look at that. I'm trying to make a call your mom, and Lulu's like, wait, dummy, we got more stuff to talk about here. She's the best.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Nope.
I'm so sorry.
Nope.
I'll talk to my mom, I promise.
Perfect. Lulu Kessler for the Greenville News. Appreciate you. As always, we'll talk to you next week. We got to run to a break. We are back after this on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks again to Lulu Kessin for joining us here on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate. Appreciate her time as always. Let's get some sound. We ordinarily do the audio blitz in the 8 o'clock segment, but on Thursdays, Lulu joins us, so we'll get into some other spots here. I have got a couple of different bits of sound, but there's some predominantly that I want to play from the Oklahoma City Thunder celebration. Earlier this week, 2 days ago, the OKC Thunder held their championship parade. It was interesting because it being Oklahoma City, not an enormous major metropolitan market, and it being in the middle of the day on a work day, which I didn't really understand that decision at all. It was not super well attended. And the big problem that I had with it was the way that people were talking about it. They're like, oh, is this it? Is this all you could? And it's like, guys, it's at noon on a Tuesday. Like, what do you expect? That's kind of what happens when you put events at noon on a Tuesday. The issue I had with it.
Well, but, you know, other places like Philadelphia or Kansas City, they let kids out of school or whatever, depending on what sport it is. And so I don't know.
Yeah, but those are also cities with 4 to 5 times the population
of OKC. Tuesday, but it's also summer. So
again, don't disagree. But just because you got kids that are out of school don't mean you ain't got to go to work. And when you have 4 times the people, it's unsurprising that 4 times the people show up to an event. That, I mean, that doesn't matter whether the event is a Tiddlywinks tournament or an NBA championship parade. If your population is 2.5 million versus a city whose population is like 750,000, like my point here is don't bag on OKC because their parade didn't look like the same parade that the Panthers threw in Miami, right? Like, of course, it's going to be a little bit different. But there are some funny spots out of it that I genuinely enjoyed. I would like to start with my guy, Jalen Williams, who is like, dude, he's entertaining. All right, young cat. Just freshly in the league, just turned 21 years of age, which meant that J-Dub, his first beer, according to J-Dub, but as somebody who recalls very vividly his first beer, the face that J-Dub made when he tried his first beer the night of the NBA championship was definitely the old bitter beer face, this is my first taste of a brewski face. He was on a podcast the next day, talking about that celly. Now, Rob Brown's a fan of Shirley Temples. I'm not mad about that. Rob Brown's also a fan of maybe a little vodka in a Shirley Temple. Yeah, dress it up a little bit. I get it.
That kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
No, because it still tastes like a Shirley Temple.
I thought a Shirley Temple was supposed to be a non-alcoholic drink.
No, a Shirley Temple's just a drink that is traditionally made non-alcoholic, but any beverage you can add alcohol to and still have the taste of the OG beverage. But have yourself a nice little cocktail.
Turning how the sentence is said doesn't make it different. It's the alternative to drinking usually.
No, so
you defile it by putting something
right. The
in
claim
it.
There
you,
is
you defeat the purpose of the drink by doing what you did.
The purpose of that drink or any drink is to enjoy the drink. That's the purpose of a drink. Anything you drink is to either get nourishment or enjoy it. That's it. I enjoy the Shirley Temple
or,
still,
so you don't die because you know water's essential.
That's what I just said. Get nourishment or enjoy the drink. But blah, 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 blah. I want to play some audio from literally the next day. Literally at the conclusion of the OKC parade. They were parading through the streets of Oklahoma City down to the arena where they were holding their in-arena celebration. Here's some audio that was picked up as J-Dub was leaving the bus and heading into the arena. If you couldn't make out what happened there. J-Dub was walking into the arena, and the reporter was like, yo, before you go in there, one question, how you feeling? And J-Dub, if you're not watching the stream, this is why you should sometimes you get some dramatic acting. J-Dub, as he's walking, and the guy calls his name, Zo, he's got the goggles on, he's holding a bottle of champagne. The guy calls him, and he goes, and the guy goes, how you feeling? He goes, I feel loose. That's all I got. My man went from, ew, beer and vodka and tequila and champagne are gross, to, I'm feeling loose, man, in a 24-hour run. J-Dub, welcome to the party.
Yeah, what a betrayer.
Welcome to the party.
What a betrayer. I mean, you waited all this time and then you did it then? I mean, why? You succumbed to your peers and what they wanted you to do, and thought you were more of a stand-up guy than
oh that. No! If you drink, you're a bad person.
You are if you went your entire life and didn't do it, then suddenly
he
did
just
it
turned 21. He
are.
Just turned legal. Under,
by the way, you never said that once till now
that he just turned 21.
Yeah,
you I made literally it. Said it in the lead up to that clip.
I don't think
I literally said he's a young cat. He just turned 21. That's why he had his first drink. Yeah.
Okay. If you did, then you're proving your point about the. Attention span of Americans. But I don't believe you said that.
I 1,000% did. Good on J-Dub for feeling loose. That's all I got. Love it. Hey, you know who else was having themselves a really good time? Chet Holmgren, who grabbed a mic too. Let me tell you, the phrase, let me lock in, is said exclusively by one group of people. It is people who are in a brain state that has been chemically altered and are having to accomplish a task. Hang on. Let me lock in.
This clip and probably further clips brought to you by AA. Some of them should actually go there.
It turns out you can indeed get drunk, have a good time, and not have it be a problem.
Also, I am curious about this because it's a controlled environment, but why are you allowed to open carry? Why are you allowed to be drunken and disorderly and not be arrested? By the way, this is a legitimate question. Why I'd never really thought about this before, but all these things that these athletes are getting away with, if the average person like Rob Brown's out there doing it, he's going to jail.
So there's a couple of things here. I actually know the answer to this. Number one, when you get a parade permit, special exemptions come with that permit. You can get a special exemption that allows people involved in the parade or for more people at the parade to drink. I can give you the example. I can't roll around downtown Greenville with a brewski, but when they do Friday nights or Downtown Alive, I can do that because they have an exemption for that. So with these parades, they give an exemption where you're allowed to have some boozy pops outside. That's
only within a certain area, right? So if you go outside of that area.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. So it would be in this case like part of the parade route. And they, I don't know, like in New Orleans, you are absolutely allowed to be, like there's no anti-booze carrying law in New Orleans. You can just walk around with a drink.
There's no open carry law.
Correct. You can just take a drink. In fact, in New Orleans, bars are famous.
I know that sounds like I'm talking about guns, but I'm talking about alcohol.
In New Orleans, you can very famously, whenever you leave a bar, get what is called a go cup.
Open container.
There it is.
That's what I meant.
They will make you a drink in a plastic cup to leave the bar with, to just go wherever you're going after that. So that being said, that is that. Number two, I also want to point out, drunk and disorderly are not obligated to be together. Sometimes you can just be a funny, lovey, happy, 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 fun guy,
so
and then go home and go to bed.
And sometimes you can just be disorderly without being
absolutely
drunk. Okay.
Yeah. Many of us do that very regularly. All right.
Especially when you get behind anime guy.
Freaking anime guy, dude! I'm about to run that guy off the road. I was behind him again today. I was furious. Ace Bailey got drafted by the Jazz last night, and it was awkward. So, Ace Bailey, who, you know, I talked about this yesterday, was the thing I was more than anything else looking forward to seeing the drama around yesterday. This is a guy who has been not accepting or canceling or no-showing workouts with NBA teams. This is a guy who was, through his agent, effectively making demands about where he wanted to go play or to not go play. It was widely reported that at one point, the holders of the number 3 overall selection, the Philadelphia 76ers, had their president and general manager call the kid and invite him to dinner. And he was like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to be there. I don't want to come there. I don't want to play there. Welp, he wanted to get drafted in the next two picks to either Washington or New Orleans. I've given you my theory on why. Both of those teams already have good players, but not like marquee players, but good enough players that the weight of the franchise isn't on him, but not so good that they would like dramatically overshadow him as a top 5, 6, 7, 8 pick, whatever. He did not want to go there, and they straight up picked him. And I am now really interested in this because Ace Bailey was the most interesting story on NBA draft night number one, and now he's going to be the most interesting story of the offseason and NBA opening night because he clearly did not want to be there. He clearly did not want to get selected and was clearly very shocked that he did. This is going to be an interesting illustration of should young players have the right to be picky and call their shot? Is that an entitlement attitude, A? And B, does it work? Does he buy in? Does he go out there and bust it for the Jazz? Or does he phone it in for a couple of years, get himself out of there, and then go be a stud somewhere else? I don't know. I'm intrigued to see how this all plays out. We will see where it goes. When we come back, I've got two clips I want to talk about from the baseball world. One, from a couple of radio show hosts in New York that I mean it when I tell you, made me as mad as I've been since Kevin Schnall got ejected from Game 2 of the College World Series. And what I think might be the funniest radio call that I have heard in a very long time. I'm going to play those for you when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days.
It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Atlanta Braves are now 5-1 against the New York Metropolitans, their National League East rivals. The New York Mets are, until last night, when they finally got one over on the Braves, they win 7-3. Rookie Didier Fuentes, who got the call up about a week ago, had his second start, his first start, looked like maybe the Braves had done it again and found a rookie hurler who was going to change everything for them. Last night, he looked like a guy who got called up too early. 3.1 innings, 8 hits, 6 runs allowed. It was no bueno for Didier Fuentes. However, I want to take you back to yesterday. And had I found these clips yesterday, I would have played them yesterday. On yesterday's show, we were talking about the fifth consecutive win over the New York Mets. We were talking about the fact that, and again, I'm not down today because my take yesterday was win one of the last two against the Mets, you're going to drop one. It's going to be difficult to go, 8-0 to start the season against this Mets team. It's a good Mets team. But I said, if you take one of the last two and you win this series, and then if you either win every season or every series for the remainder of the year, which you have five remaining, if you win every series for the rest of the season, all of them three-game series, the Phillies, the Angels, the Orioles, the A's, and the... it was the last one. Cardinals. Five series left. If you win every series, or if you lose a series, sweep one of the other three-game series, the Braves will be at 500 or a game over, and I'll be willing to reevaluate. If this team's within a game of the 500 mark, I'll reevaluate my stance on Atlanta, and I will enter the second half of the baseball season with a little hope and a little optimism. So I'm not worried about the loss yesterday. In fact, I don't even want to talk about the Braves in this segment that I opened up talking about the Braves. I want to talk about the Mets for a second. And I want to talk about two clips from New York sports radio that made it onto my radar yesterday. The first clip I want to talk about is a clip that I am kind of taking pretty seriously. It is a pair of sports talk radio hosts on ESPN Radio in New York City. It is the DiPietro and Rothenberg Show. The show is hosted by former New York Islander Rick DiPietro and New York radio veteran Dave Rothenberg. They are the morning show on ESPN Radio. Now, the take makes a little more sense when you recognize that Rick DiPietro, who is going to be the guy that I have an issue with in this clip, is a former hockey dude. Now, you all know how I feel about former athletes making their way into radio. There are some of them that are very good, and there are some of them that I don't think are very good, and I think are taking jobs in an industry that I don't appreciate it. But hey, I'm just selfish and ego-driven. What do you want? They were talking about the fact that the New York Metropolitans yesterday were 0-5 against the Atlanta Braves with two left to play. They were pretty upset. And former New York Islander Rick DiPietro had a take. Now, I'm not going to go through the rest of the clip because that was the point there. Effectively, they were talking about Ronald Acuna Jr., who hit another home run in the fifth consecutive win of the Atlanta Braves over the New York Metropolitans. And the response from Rick and Rothenberg there, from DiPietro and Rothenberg, the response was, the next time he comes up, you're 0-5, you can't beat these guys, you can't beat them at their house, you can't beat them in our own house. This guy, Ronnie Acuna Jr., is out here slinging the wood and going big dong and making it look bad. The next time he comes to the plate, his thought was, beam him in the ribs. Now, that's a hockey mentality. And in hockey, I get it. I would never come into the hockey sphere and say, hey, man, don't get physical outside of the game, because let's be real, the culture of that game is physicality. But this belief from a major network radio show host on in a drive time spot in New York City, advocating that because the baseball team is playing poorly, and because the baseball team is getting it handed to them by a mediocre Atlanta team, the best course of action is to put 100 miles an hour of baseball into the ribs of their best player. Is it me, or is that just gross and garbage?
I'm wondering if this is commonplace. I mean, do a lot of other baseball fans, are they good with that?
As somebody, I think, that qualifies as a relatively common baseball talking place occupant, there is a very large, not massive and certainly not majority, but there is a large group of baseball fans who would agree with the guy. And my response would be, no, it's still bad. It's still bad. To genuinely risk a guy's season and potentially career because he took you yard again.
By the way, and people don't know about it enough, or life, because that's a projectile coming at 100 miles an hour. If you're hitting the wrong spot, could end you.
So the thought of this guy's killing you, he's hitting big dongs in your own house, he's taking you yad repeatedly, and you can't beat his baseball team, so let's go ahead and risk a few weeks or his whole season or potentially his career by beaming him to get the boys fired up. Here's a better idea, Rick DiPietro. Why don't you just have not an ass clubhouse? Maybe, and I would expect you as a hockey guy to embrace this, maybe go find your Connor McDavid, who walks into the locker room and hits a locker with a baseball bat and drops 50 F-bombs on the team in a between innings moment and gets the boys fired up. Maybe find somebody in your team to actually be a leader. Maybe find somebody in your team to take over, to be vocal, to be out loud, and to fire the boys up instead of wanting to... Now, in hockey, I get it. Y'all got your own thing going over there, and I would never step in and say, oh, that's not okay. It's hockey, different breed of cat. In baseball, no. This ain't hockey,
in
man.
In TV and movies and everywhere else, this is how New Yorkers are depicted. So why is this unusual?
Because I don't... I've defended New Yorkers before for being gruff and short and rude. And I've told you why it happens. When the wife and I went up to New York last year, I, for a very brief moment of time, morphed into a New Yorker, and that was the moment that I understood. It was a couple of years ago.
Wow, not a stretch for you.
Because when I took the wife up there, I proposed in New York City. And when I took the wife up there to propose, I booked us a reservation at a very popular brunch spot that was up on a rooftop, up on a balcony, overlooked downtown, overlooked the Empire State Building and all that, but we had reservations. And when I made the reservations, they said to me, if you are not here at your reservation time, it will go to someone else. There, it's not like a 15-minute grace. Your reservation's at 10 a.m. If you're not in this door at 10 a.m., you do not have your reservation. You will have to find something. They're very clear about that. So the wife and I took an Uber from the hotel to where the restaurant was. We got out of the Uber. We started walking down the sidewalk, and in front of me was very clearly a tourist who was very clearly taking in the sights, and her big old fat husband were waddling down the sidewalk, taking up the sidewalk, and just oompa loompa doodly doo in their way, blocking the sidewalk.
Wow.
I don't know what you want me to say. They were large individuals. And the wife and I, who now have 3 minutes to make it to the front door of a restaurant 3.5 minutes away, are stuck behind him. And I said, pardon me, and nobody responded. And I went, y'all, could you please move? Now, I'm not totally New York because I threw a y'all in there. But I was like, can y'all please move? And the lady turns around and she's like, there's no need to be rude. And I'm like, no, you're being rude right now. You're blocking up the whole sidewalk. And I almost wanted to drop a, I'm walking here in that moment. But I was like, no, you're being rude. You're blocking the sidewalk. All we're asking is to pass. And they moved over and we went by. And in the walk up, she's like, you good? And I was like, no, I get it now. I get it now. Because we have a place to be. I have a schedule. It's great that you don't enjoy your day, but get the hell up out of my way.
So it had nothing to do with you being nervous and getting ready to take
Zero.
A big step.
I wasn't nervous. I wasn't nervous because I knew she was going to say yes. We had had the conversation, right? So blah, blah, blah. I've defended New Yorkers for the gruff because I understand it. What I'm not going to defend is our team sucks. They have no motivation. Nobody's got the stones in that locker room to stand up and get the boys fired up. So you know what we should do? We should throw a fastball into the ribs of an all-star.
In your circle of friends, you guys are just talking. No one ever says something like that.
Says something like, I hope that they drill the franchise in the ribs?
Yeah.
Not that I recall, but I can definitely tell you if one of them did, much like I do with any other bad take, I go, that's a bad take, dude. No, that's not cool. That's not all right. I'll call out my friends for their bad takes. No. Drilling an all-star in the ribs, drilling anybody, but drilling an all-star in the ribs because your team doesn't have the leadership to get it right? It's
right.
Gross.
So I'm not completely up on the unwritten rules of baseball, but that sounds like an unwritten rule of baseball. If someone's crowding the plate, you got to brush them back. And if you don't brush them back enough.
No. We're not talking Ronnie's crowding the plate, brush him back. He just said hit his ass. I don't care if he's in the dugout. Drill him. There is a difference between crowded the plate, I pushed him back and it hit him, versus throw at his ribs, which is what this clown just said. No. Dude, I don't care. This is a moment that I don't say something like this often. Brother, stick to hockey. Stick to hockey, all right? Now, I got a clip for you.
Brother.
I'm playing it, Zoe. I've decided I'm playing it. I'm taking the heat. This might be my favorite call of all time. I'm very frustrated.
Right, by pointing out that it's something that might be.
Look, if it's going to get us in trouble, it's going to get in trouble with our setup or not.
But you just do that and you don't do what you're doing now.
Frustrated Mets fan. Called WFAN, our sister audio station who aired this call. It's the greatest call of my life. Big Lou! I love this. Here's the best part about this clip. We now know that Tony Soprano didn't die at the end of the TV show, all right? He moved to New York, he went into witness protection, now he's a Mets fan. This team's got no balls! I don't know what to tell you. I'm gonna put this clip into Spotify and just listen to it on repeat. Now There's a little extra sauce there because I'm a Braves fan and I hate the Mets and it's absolutely hysterical. There's a little extra sauce there because I'm a big Sopranos fan and that 1,000% was one of Tony's bosses, right? One of his capos, one of his underbosses there. But my man going off there and getting progressively more Tony Soprano through the call about the freaking Mets. They stink, eh? They stink. They got no balls. That's one of the greatest sports fan calls of my life. And I save them when we get them.
Did you get worried because I looked at my phone?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. For a second. I was like, all right, well, maybe I did cross the line there. I don't know what to tell you. This is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. This texter said, that sounds like a character. That cannot be a real person. That's every person's version of a New Yorker. I don't know if it's real or not. Remember earlier I said I don't elect to believe things unless I have evidence to support the belief? This is one time I'm breaking that rule. In my head canon, that is absolutely a real New Yorker named Lou who's mad because the Mets got no balls.
All right, so that texter is implying that radio would have a fake caller call in. That's never happened in the history of radio.
I love this call so much, I'll acknowledge, yes, there are literally services you can pay to have people call and pretend to act on your show.
It's barter, right? But I mean,
whatever.
You play their commercials and then they, yeah.
You can pay actors.
All right, I have never done that.
Nor
ever,
have I. So, I don't feel the need to. Yeah. I don't feel the need to. But even knowing that that's a thing that's out there, I am in my head fully electing to believe that that is a real New Yorker named Lou, who's so frustrated with the Mets. These absolutely garbage Mets. They stink, boys. Garbage team. He's so mad about it that that's the call we got. That's an all-time call. This is an all-time sports flash. They got no balls.
He's also that fat guy on the sidewalk that wouldn't get out of your way. The Atlanta Braves' perfection against the Mets came to a conclusion last night, so that guy can calm down a little bit. With a 7-3 loss to New York rookie Didier, Fuentes made his second big league start but got hammered, giving up 8 hits and 6 runs in 3.1 innings, striking out just 1. The Braves collected 6 hits, including Drake Baldwin's 9th homer of the year, but went 1-6 with runners in scoring position. The Charlotte Hornets selected Duke's Con Kanepel with the 4th overall selection yesterday. Charlotte also traded center Mark Williams to Phoenix in return for number 29 pick and a first rounder and that's also in 2029. As center Vasily Micic, the Hornets drafted UConn's Liam McNeese with the pick. South Carolina's Colin Murray Bowles is headed to Canada, selected 9th overall by the Toronto Raptors. He was not happy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.